Been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayam Bhunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning to go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan, for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabeau, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Hey there, John Sabeau with the Far East Travels Podcast, coming to you from Nha Trang, Vietnam, where I've been located for the last 2 weeks now. 2 weeks since I came down from Da Nang to Nha Trang. It's been very interesting. Lots of ups and downs already. In this episode of the podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit about what life is currently like here under lockdown, and also give you an update on the new openings of islands in Thailand on this episode. So despite a lot of new COVID cases, a surge in COVID cases in Thailand, they are reopening a few more islands. So I'm going to get to that in a bit. I'm going to talk about life here as well. You know, what maybe some of my daily routine, maybe you can repeat. I've also left the door open of my little balcony here in case some sounds kind of come in, at least to give you a little bit of atmosphere of Nha Trang, Vietnam. And if I was doing this yesterday, we'd probably be listening to some pretty wild karaoke. Somebody had their karaoke machine up pretty loud yesterday and the day before for a bit. So I'm going to talk about that. Also, I want to thank Jay Brazeth for their comment in the Apple Podcast Store, their review. I was talking about how helpful it is to leave a review, of course, a positive review in Apple Podcasts or the iTunes Store, because it helps others discover the Far East Travels podcast. And Jay Brazeth left a pretty extensive comment. I'm going to read it because I want to comment on some of the things. And I always like getting this kind of feedback because, of course, it helps me to understand, you know, what people are interested in listening about or the types of things they want to hear. So here we go. I've been listening to Sabeau for a few years now. I like that. I found out after coming back from my own travels in Southeast Asia. It's amazing how every episode brings you to that place. The thoughtful commentary on the culture, the sounds of the markets, and now with the COVID updates, I can practically smell the fish sauce and motorbike exhaust. That is really cool. It's like having your own Southeast Asian correspondent on demand. If you're new or just finding this podcast, I recommend going back and listening to some early episodes as well. They're like mini audio documentaries of all the cool places in Southeast Asia. That's true. My format was quite different when I started out this audio podcast in 2016. Before that, for a couple of years, I was doing a video podcast, and then I started just this audio podcast. They say, I myself fell in love with Cambodia when I was there, so going back to listen and learn more from the Cambodian episodes is really a pleasant time. Keep it up, John. Looking forward to COVID ending and maybe you getting back out there. I'd love to hear some more Nepal. So would I. Actually, it's interesting that you say that, because I really have been thinking a lot about Nepal lately. It's been 3 years since I was there. Last time I was there was in 2018. I was there twice, one time in the spring to take a couple of people up to Annapurna Base Camp, and then in the fall, take a people on their first trip to Everest Base Camp. And in the fall trip, I actually left about 5 or 6 weeks before the base camp trek, just to have some time to soak in Kathmandu again, because it had been a while since I've been able to spend that much time there. And I came in on the beginning of the festival season. So it was it's just an amazing time to be in Nepal or Kathmandu during the festival season, which usually starts, you know, sometime in August and then goes right through to, I guess, November. And, you know, there's almost a festival every 2 or 3 days, and sometimes they overlap, and sometimes one long one ends and then another one starts. It's really something else to see. And I miss Nepal so much. I'm watching it closely. I've been talking to some people there lately. So I'd really love to get back to Nepal and report from you, you know, from Nepal. I remember sitting out on the Himalayan Java Cafe location in, you know, close to Tamil. And I was out on the balcony doing my podcast there a few times. And it was just such a joy to talk about Nepal and speak right from there. So I'm looking forward to going back there. I want to get back to Cambodia. It's interesting. I love reading these comments because I always am interested in seeing, you know, what countries strike a chord with people. And I know always, you know, one country will strike a chord with certain people, or, you know, you'll get some kind of energy from it that you don't get from anywhere else. And I hear this a lot from people as far as Cambodia goes. A lot of people just fall in love with Cambodia. The culture is amazing. It's out there all the time for you. The people are so gentle and kind. It has, of course, its cons, but there's a lot of pros, and it's an interesting place to go, fascinating place to go. And I can see why so many people do fall in love with it. So, yeah, I want to get back there. I was lucky enough to spend a couple of months there before the pandemic, just before the pandemic. I'd been in Cambodia for a couple months. So, I you know, the whole idea for me to come to Southeast Asia in the first place from being in East Asia for 5 years was so I could be on the ground here more and travel around more. And, you know, that hasn't exactly worked out. It was okay for the first year, but, you know, since I've been in a situation like everybody else has been, something that they never thought they would be in. But here I am in the Trong, and, you know, I can tell you a little bit about my day. I said the door's open so you can listen to some of the sounds, maybe an odd sound coming out. Sometimes the kids are playing outside. It's really interesting being in these towns or cities in Vietnam. It reminds me of my childhood when, you know, kids just played outside in the streets at night. And so I'll hear kids playing outside, not too much karaoke, which is fine with me. But, you know, you hear some street sounds and different sounds. So you might hear some stuff while I'm talking. So I hope that sort of comes through as well. You have to be pretty isolated here because we are on what they call a Directive 16 lockdown, which is pretty tight. We're only supposed to be out for essentials. You know, they have, you know, people on patrol out stopping people to make sure that they're just out to do some shopping, either for food or medicine or things like that. You're not supposed to be in more than a group of two if you are outside. So they have all kinds of people, whether it's police or other people, monitoring the situation here. And they drive down the alleys and check to make sure everything is going according to this Directive 16. So I'm pretty isolated, but I take advantage of when I have to go out to get things, to do a little bit of a walk. I shop at a couple of stores that are close to me, and a couple of locations of this Vin Mart. If you've been to Vietnam before, you know the brand. They have a lot of convenience stores, but they also have supermarkets as well that are pretty well stocked. And the ones that I go to here are nice. They're new. They have lots of selection of different things, mostly Vietnamese things, but they do have some foreign products. If you're interested in that, they usually have a pretty good selection of fresh produce and fruit. And then I'm picking up some cooking supplies as well, because unfortunately, during this last lockdown, a lot of restaurants just decided to shut down rather than just do delivery or takeaway only. So the choices here are very limited. And by my observations of kind of walking around the town for the last couple of weeks, it appears that they have been severely impacted by the pandemic. Looks like a lot of restaurants have been closed for some time now. You can tell just by how old the comments are on their Facebook pages. So, you know, it certainly has affected this city, which is primarily a resort town, big destination spot for Vietnamese and for international tourists. So I'm observing that. There are some blue vouchers that are handed out to people as well. Now, I haven't gotten any in my place, but my new friend from San Antonio, Texas, Daryl, managed to get some blue vouchers from the hotel apartment that he's staying in. And these blue vouchers allow you to go to some other supermarkets to shop as well. And they only allow you to go every 2 days. So you can only go when that blue voucher is valid. And then that also gives them, the numbers are recorded, the ones that you're given, those numbers are recorded so they know if you've been there, and they so they can do contact tracing easier with those. And then it also limits the amount of people. And so a couple times Daryl has asked me if I wanted to go shopping to like the Lot Mart, the Korean supermarket, which is quite popular here, or another place here called Go, which used to be a Big C. And Big C is a pretty popular supermarket chain. It's a Thai supermarket chain that you'll find in most big cities in Vietnam as well. So we went there this morning and used a blue voucher and did some shopping. Then run into another American that's been stuck here for almost a year, Ori, who's from New York. And we were chatting for a little bit about what his experience has been like in the past year. And he was out traveling anyways and then just decided to stay here instead of going back home. During the pandemic, and being from New York, he was a little more fearful to go back. So he's been here for almost a year. So we got into a little bit of a discussion at the supermarket in the bake shop section. And it's really nice to have people to relate to during this time, because it's always helpful to have a little bit of camaraderie and people that can relate to you that are foreigners as well. And then also met a manager of one of the 5-star hotels this week. He's originally from Cape Town, South Africa, and he's been away from home since 2008. He is here with his family, and he was telling me about what the quarantine was like that he had to do because he recently came down from Hoi An. He was managing a property up there, and then he moved down to Nha Trang, and he had to go through a 21-day quarantine with his family, including his two kids. So he was relating a little bit of that. So we're all in this kind of precarious situation. So, you know, as foreigners, it's kind of nice to have somebody to talk about this situation with. As I said, I'm just in this small little budget apartment hotel off an alley here. I'm 2 blocks from the beach, which I still really have truly yet to be able to explore and enjoy. And I was here for about 4 days before they closed the beach down again. And the only video I have of it is really cloudy days, which I'll use in my next YouTube video. But it's a little bit frustrating that now that it's sunny, we can't go down to the beach. So 5 years ago, I watched the sunrise on this beach among lots of crowds of locals out for their morning swim. Actually, I couldn't believe at the time how many people came out. It was a crowded beach at sunrise. And usually, too, throughout the day, you'll see lots of people, especially men in Speedos, or as they say in Australia, budgie smugglers, out on the sand or in the water. And that's the huge Russian community that's very strong, or was very strong here up until, you know, before the pandemic. So it gave you kind of a Baltic Sea beach getaway atmosphere as well. It's kind of interesting. But a lot of those Russians, it appears, have left as well, or left. But there still is a expat Russian community here as well. Most of the sites are closed, and, you know, you're not supposed to be out anyway. So it's really, you know, it's not a place I can really enjoy right now, other than just kind of sharing these things with you. It's certainly a well worth place visiting, and will be when things open up again. I think if you're doing a north to south trip of Vietnam, or south to north, including Nha Trang on a 2 or 3 night portion of your itinerary, I think is well worth it. Kind of an interesting place when there's lots of people here. It's a buzzing place. There's some great restaurants that serve all kinds of things. And, of course, there's specialty is seafood as well here as well. So lots of good hotels and restaurants and shopping and things like that. So it's definitely a place worth visiting when things are back to normal. So that's the situation here and what life is like currently in the Trong for me. Thailand continues to reopen to tourists. And despite a surge in COVID cases, as I was saying, due to this new Delta variant, and some of their specialists, I think in the last episode I was saying, was expecting up to 100,000 cases a day it could reach. But despite that, they're still plowing through with reopening Thailand. And this week they started their Samui Plus program, where they're opening up three islands, Koh Samui, Phangan, and Tao. 75% of all these residents on these islands are said to have been fully vaccinated. So they're ready for vaccinated tourists to return to these islands. But it's a little bit more strict than the Phuket sandbox. So if you're fully vaccinated, you can come to Koh Samui at first, and you have to stay in an approved hotel for 7 days. On day four, you can leave the hotel to go outside if you have a negative COVID test. So you got to stay inside your hotel for the first 3 days. On Phuket, you can go out right away. You'll have to come with a negative test, but once you present that, you can go to your hotel and you can go outside pretty much anywhere on Phuket. But Samui is a little more restrict. They also have places that you can only go to in those first few days before you pass your seven-day stay. And then after you've passed your seven-day stay and you've tested negative, then you can go on to Phangan and Tao. So apparently Samui has bars open already, and they've been operating on the island for a while, maybe even more than Phuket. I don't know. I talked to somebody recently that had been to Phuket, and they said a lot of stuff was closed. There wasn't really much nightlife there. But I'm sure as more and more people arrive, more things will start to open. It'll be more sustainable for some of those businesses to reopen and start serving customers. But apparently there are some bars open already on Samui, and they expect that people from Phuket will come down and head out to some of those bars. Phuket so far has had over 5,000 visitors, and 10 have turned out to be infected with COVID out of those 5,000. So I don't think that's a real big surprise. Tourism makes up a fifth of Thailand's national income and has had its worst year since the Asian financial crisis of 1997. And then as far as Vietnam goes, because, of course, I'm always getting inquiries about Vietnam. When Vietnam does reopen, they are going to probably do something similar to what Thailand is doing. Recently, they've talked about Phu Quoc. Phu Quoc has been coming up since last year as a place because it's an island. So it's easy to isolate foreigners or visitors. This place has come up quite often as a place that would be one of the first places reopened because they also have an international airport there, so they can have flights coming directly into Phu Quoc and then leaving without having to go through Saigon or Ho Chi Minh City. So Phu Quoc is on a lot of people's mind right now in tourism here. They only have 200,000 residents on Phu Quoc, so it'll be really easy to get people vaccinated up to herd immunity there. So that's being really looked at. I have heard a date of around October as a possibility of when they would open up. And then here in this province that I'm in right now, they have a proposal open to open up a beach resort south of Nha Trang. So the people would fly into Cameron Airport here, which is actually quite, you know, it's about a 45 minute drive outside of Nha Trang. And they would fly to the airport there and then go directly to that resort. So it would be like kind of an isolated retreat or vacation. But that is one proposal out there. Of course, Quang Nam province as well has had proposals in for reopening. One was for August, but that, I don't know if that's going to go through yet or that's going to be put off for a while. That's the situation here in Vietnam. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Far East Travels podcast. A few different ways you can support the podcast. One is, of course, writing a review in Apple Podcasts or the iTunes Store. Really appreciate those. I'll leave a link in the show notes as usual. Just follow that link. Make sure you're signed into your account. Rate the podcast out of 5 stars. Write a review, and you'll help others discover the Far East Travels podcast. Then you can also support the podcast financially a couple different ways, either by becoming a patron, which is a monthly pledge, as little as a couple dollars. Always helps. Anything and everything helps support the podcast and my YouTube channel as well. So there'll be a link there and also a PayPal link if you just want to make a one-off donation as well. Thank you so much. We will get through this. And in the future, of course, I always wish you safe travels, namaste, tashi delay, and peace.